Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday night service. Praise the Lord. And give a round of applause for this. It's a great day. And it has been over a year since we've been meeting together. And, of course, we wanted to play it safe and judge things according to people and of course, getting their vaccines and different things like that. And, of course, we're always watching those numbers, and they kept decreasing. And I knew when the sporting arenas and events opened back up to full capacity, I said, there is no way that we're going to keep on doing just Facebook Live only. We're going to be back in person. And so, anyway, we are here. We are excited. And, of course, we have Brother Don Rich preaching for us tonight, bringing God's Word. And for the past year, Brother Don and, of course, I'm sure Miss Carla did some of the camera work over in Peru. But I'd called on Brother Don several times. Those of you that have watched, and from Peru, he was live preaching on Wednesday nights for us. And so appreciate that, Brother Don and Miss Carla. We love you guys, and we are looking forward to the message tonight. And let me just say this, how God works. Before Brother Don and Sister Carla came over, I don't know, maybe it was a month or two out before them actually coming here on their furlough, I said, well, Brother Don, I'd like to get you on a Wednesday night or two and then a Sunday morning. And we settled on June 2nd, and that was before we even planned that being our reopening. And so it got down to June 2nd, and you guys were here, and I thought, man, what better way to reopen than having a guest come, of course, a home guest, and Brother Don opened back up our Wednesday night services. And so the Lord was just in it, and we're so excited. I do want to say welcome those watching on Facebook as well. I hope there's some, I'm sure there's some watching, but a good majority is here tonight that used to watch on Facebook Live. But saying that, we welcome you to our service through Facebook. And I do want to say that we have classes downstairs. The teenagers, Brother Brian's teaching tonight. And Miss Christy, she is with the toddlers / tween stage, I like to call it. And that's kindergarten through, sixth grade, something like that. Elementary school, nonetheless. But we're all ready to go tonight. And this is what I want to do. I want to mention some requests, and we're going to pray together. Now, before the pandemic, we would go to the altar and pray. And I'd like to continue that tonight. But, again, if you feel more comfortable praying there in your pew, you can do that. But I do want to say that we will have a moment to come down to the altar and spread out wherever you want to. You can spread out throughout the church if you like to in the sanctuary. But we'll have a time of prayer. And normally, I was thinking today, I would lead us in prayer, and I did back before the pandemic. But this time, we're just going to be silent and pray. And we're just going to pray separately. You can pray out loud. You can pray to yourself or within yourself to God. But I think I want to do that. And then when we get through, then I'll turn it over to Brother Don. So tonight, let's remember Miss Catherine Plemons and Brother Ceylon. I did make a post on our church Facebook page, but her mother did go home to be with the Lord, and early this morning, and so I believe they're going tomorrow actually to make funeral arrangements. They were just wiped out today. They went home, and from my understanding, they were going to try to get some rest. But those of you that have been through the funeral process know it's nearly impossible to get any rest during that time. It's going to take a while before you actually, you know, are able to get some good rest. But let's lift them up tonight in our prayers. And also Miss Linda Tidwell. This is Ben Tidwell's mother, and she has fibrosis of the liver. And so she's trying to nurse that thing back to health, back to being better. And, of course, let's remember Brother Ben as well. I was able to spend a little time with him this week. We actually went to the ball field me and Ben. And I've been wanting to hit some baseballs for a while. And so we went out there, and, man, we lasted, I think, one round. And I bought a bucket of baseballs. And so we there were 24 in the bucket. And so he threw 24. We gathered them up, and he threw 24 more to me. And then I threw 24 to him and 24 again. And so we were wiped out. But we had a good time of exercise together. And so just remember Brother Ben in your prayers and Miss Linda. Let's continue to remember our children's home. And we see our house parents here in the back. And it's so good to have all three of you with us tonight. And what a tremendous blessing that you guys are. Let's remember them, and let's remember and pray that they'll have a wonderful summer there at the home. And kids can go out and be kids and have fun. We're all coming out of this pandemic, and so it's time to have a little fun. And let's just pray for our children. Remember the Teagues and Miss Connie. She has a couple surgeries coming up. We're not really sure of any dates right now. But let's remember her in our prayers and her family. And Miss Dawn Daly, and she's doing really good, actually, spiritually. She had a bad Sunday last Sunday, she said, wasn't feeling that well. Let's remember her and Brother Jim Jr. And Trell Norton requested prayer for Daryl Emmett. Rusty and Chris Watkins, let's remember them. Brother Rusty and his job, and as he's taking care of his mother. But also Miss Chris and her back. She intended on being here this past Sunday, but she got up and got to moving around, and that back of hers started barking at her. And so she had to stay home. Jeff and Sharon Hodges, they're out of town, but their daughter Amy, in the passing of her husband Chris, she was here this past Sunday night on our outside fellowship, Miss Amy. And she just wanted to come by and say thank you for all the prayers from Calvary. And so let's remember her, Randy and Janet Bailey, and the multiple myeloma cancer. Of course, this is Brother Snyder's brother-in-law and sister. And let's remember Reverend Brother Larry Rich, Cassie Karanovich, Leonard Palmer, as he continues to follow up with a local oncologist. And concerning the tumor he has there behind his eye. Try to reach out to Miss Dolores. So if you're watching Miss Dolores, you can, if you feel okay with it, you can just throw an update on the screen, or we'll talk to you later. But let's remember the Palmers, Brother David and Miss Glenda Henderson, and Claude, that's under 24/7 care, good friend of theirs. Harold Dolph, who is going through a lot of therapy. And he's recovering, and he's trying to get back to church. And I know Brother Don Nettles in the back, you've been doing some therapy too. And he's been feeling better. So we praise the Lord for that. Charlie Wilson has Parkinson's. Continue to remember Miss Marsha Turner, and her heart, which is, from the last I heard, she's doing much better. Melissa Slagle, and of course, Brother Don, Sister Carla, that are home here on furlough. They're very busy and have been on the road visiting, supporting churches. Miss Claudia Darby requested prayer last Sunday, but again today, not feeling good. Several things going on with her. Dawn Capistrano, she was here Sunday night, but she's having terrible foot problems, had a surgery, and I don't believe it's any better. And then Barbara Anderson down at the Rehabilitation Center, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, our Marine who came out of the children's home, James Tolan Brown, and then a good friend of ours, Kim Merritt, who has been battling brain cancer for probably going on 2 years now, and still alive and still smiling. And so the grace of God. All right, maybe someone has a prayer request tonight or an update.
My coworker, her mother just passed away. She had a bad fall.
Okay. This was her name?
That's my coworker's name. Her mom was just Miss Radford.
Okay. And she passed?
Yes.
we'll certainly remember this. Anybody else? Okay, well, again, let's just remember these requests tonight and remember the message and the messenger. Brother Don, looking forward to that in just a few moments. Remember this coming up Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, 5 o'clock. And let's just remember to keep our hand to the plow and keep moving forward. That's what we want to do. All right, all that feel at liberty to come down and pray at the altar, you can do that. We can space out. You can stay where you're at. But at this time, we're going to kneel and pray. And again, we're going to silently pray. And when everybody's done, then we'll come back up and we'll turn it back over to Brother Don.
Make sure everybody has finished praying. It is a privilege once again to be standing before y'all tonight. I've truly enjoyed it over in Peru to be able to have a live service and know that I'm preaching here actually, and that was very strange, but it was a privilege for me, and we really enjoyed being able to do that. As I get started, first off, I want to just ask if y'all would remember the country of Peru, the 6th, which I can't remember what day of the week we're on here, Wednesday, so I guess Saturday, no, Sunday, excuse me, Sunday, is voting in Peru, and it's the second round of voting for the president. And we have two presidential candidates. One of them has already been arrested before. Her father was exiled from the country for corruption and everything in the past for many years, and she's the best choice. The other choice is a socialist, and we are praying that that person does not get into office because he wants to turn the whole country into Venezuela, and y'all know how bad things have been down there. So if y'all would pray for that, and I'm going to be speaking about our own country here for a little while myself, but if y'all would remember that in your prayers, I sure would appreciate it because we don't want it to interfere with our missions work down there, and it definitely can when you have someone like that in office. But and with that, I want to say that I'm going to be making some statements tonight that might sound a little strange coming from a pulpit, but just hang in there and you'll see God's omniscience in this message. As we come around full circle, you'll be able to understand where it's coming from. Talking about problems in the countries, we know that our country is going through one of the roughest times in its history in terms of the pandemic and political turmoil and racial tension, just lots of problems here. And I want to go through and actually mention several of those tonight because I want you to kind of see a pattern, and then we're going to go into the Word of God and we're going to see something similar there. You see, there's a definitive line drawn between the two major political parties here in our country. We all know that. Where there used to be some middle ground, right now it's more like sinking sand. There's just no way that they're getting together. And it's apparent that over half of the country, strange to me, but it's over half of the country voted for the new president and vice president that we have. And as we know, we're not really sure whether all of them were living, dead, or clones or something like that, but we know that over half of the country was involved in voting for that president. And they voted for a pair that was the most liberal pair ever that I can imagine being in office in our country. And they voted for them for different reasons. I want to name a few of those. They wanted open borders, as we've heard. They wanted to legalize abortion, legalize several drugs. They wanted less police. They wanted more rights for those that want to live an alternative lifestyle. And I'd like to just quickly tell you what alternative means. I'm sure you already know, but the definition of alternative or alternate means a substitute. It means to take the place of. And there is a reason that it is called an alternative lifestyle. And that is because it is an alternative, a substitute, because it is something other than what God blesses and has ordained. And that's the reason it is an alternative lifestyle. It substitutes a lie for the truth that takes the place of what is right. So in essence, what they were doing was voting for a new Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what they'd like in this country, a place where the sin is the norm in the country. Now, we know the president went into office. He began to change things that were already in place to maybe keep our country secure. And almost immediately, we began to see the sad effects of those voters' decisions. Y'all remember when it started, even before these two came into office, because of their influence, because of all that was going on, law enforcement were being attacked even beforehand. And we continued to see that happening. You know, the agenda of the left to make the officers look bad, I mean, the way that all the media was slanted toward that, make the media look bad, or the police look bad, to defund the police. And, you know, no matter how many times they deny the responsibility, the new leadership, and I do use that loosely tonight, the new leadership openly invited people to come into our country from other countries and cross over illegally. Now, if we do something illegal, we're put in jail, but others can come across and do what they want. A few of what is believed to be many terrorists have been caught sneaking across the border. I know I'm not saying anything that y'all don't know, but I want to kind of remind you of these things as we look at the Word of God tonight. Gangs, drug cartels are bringing more drugs into our country than ever. We know that many who crossed the border were infected with a COVID virus. And although we had to be all masked up, we saw how they came in here just however they wanted to. Children being smuggled across the border over here for sex trafficking. We had several deaths being reported of those trying to cross that desert trying to get over here because, you know, they heard, hey, y'all can come in if you want. I saw one report of one child who was put in danger of drowning. Made it look like, well, not just made it look like, she was about to drown just so they could get the attention of those officers down there off of what else was going on so they could get their attention, they could do what they wanted to and commit other crimes. And we know the detention centers started filling up and were being overwhelmed. There was reports of rape there and molestation and all kinds of filth. And reporters refused access to even get in there and show us what was going on. We all remember this. And one thing that I thought was very strange, with all that we saw in the past presidency, and then all of a sudden we saw that there were very few notifications from our new president. He wasn't really saying much. So that transparency that was promised by them as they came in really was about as clear as mud. I mean, we really couldn't know what was going on. And then they started putting our children's future in danger by putting our country deeper into debt. Because of the votes of those who are against those moral choices and godly values, we saw what happened with our country. And the rest of the country who didn't vote for them are also suffering with those who did. Now, I mentioned several reasons why the president administration was voted in by so many. Well, one of it was just they didn't like him. They didn't like him. They didn't like his words. They didn't like his ways. So they didn't like him, so they wouldn't have voted for him. But, you know, I'd have to, and I'm sorry, a little sarcasm here, but I'd just have to say for those that voted for him, you know, how's it working out for you? You know, it's just sad because of what we see going on in our country. Now, before you think I've just gone all political on you, we're going to go into the Word of God. We're going to find out exactly what I'm talking about here. I want you to understand there is a biblical principle involved in what we are seeing going on. And I want to expose that principle tonight, and I want to focus on that as we get into this message. You know, they say that history repeats itself. And what we experienced and continue to suffer from is a repeat of a sad choice that was made by another majority about 3,000 years ago, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. You see, it seems that the world just won't learn from the past. And if this new generation doesn't stop trying to hit the delete button on history and trying to destroy it, they're going to continue to repeat it. Again, I know I'm not saying anything that you don't know, but I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel was a prophet, and he was also the last judge in Israel. And as we'll see here, he served in that capacity in an important transitional time between the time of judges and when kings were being put into place. You see, judges were spiritual and political leaders who represented God as they guided Israel. Y'all remember the story of Samuel's mother, Hannah, who prayed for a son, and the Lord answered that prayer. And for that reason, when he was born, Hannah returned him to the Lord by placing him in the custody and the training of Eli, the priest. And as a young man, while Samuel was still with Eli, God called him as prophet and as judge. And as long as Samuel, this man called of God, was judging the tribes, was over them and leading and guiding them, their enemies could not defeat them. That sound kind of familiar here in the United States? You see, Samuel lived a long life, and he judged Israel for almost most of his years. What we're going to do, we're going to read part of his history. We're going to read about 22 verses tonight to get that history. Then we're going to break that down. Let's read part of his story here in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1. We're going to start. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the things displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works and which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his officers. And to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they say, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto my voice, unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." Back in the 1970s, I believe most of us here would remember this, there was a popular commercial jingle. It said, "You asked for it, you got it, Toyota." I mean, you asked for it, you got it. And that's what we're seeing here. But God's Word teaches us in James 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." But there is an important thing to understand here, and that is that God sometimes actually allows our stubborn and our wrong desires to be fulfilled, because He will then take the hard consequences of those actions and teach us some valuable lessons. And I believe that is what we're seeing in this passage of Scripture. You see, God chose the Jews as His people, and He loved and protected them as long as as long as they were faithful, and He also punished them as His children when they were rebellious. And Samuel, their leader, their judge, he was appointed by God, and when he was old, he appointed his sons to help him out, thinking they were going to help him do a good job as judges, but his sons were wicked. Look back at verse 3. "And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre," which is dishonest gain, "and took bribes and perverted judgment." Again, that sounds a lot like politics today, doesn't it? A lot like it. Look at verse 4. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, 'Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" With a good reason, they wanted a change in leadership. You see, Samuel's sons were not following in their father's footsteps in holiness. They had fallen to the temptation of wealth and greed and things like that. And the elders apparently felt that Samuel himself was old and maybe he couldn't do the job anymore. He couldn't be there much longer. But instead of trusting God, who had provided all the way up to now, instead of trusting God to provide that next judge, Israel's leaders decided to just take it upon themselves and do what they wanted to do. So instead of praying and seeking God's face, they demanded a king of Samuel. You see, Israel wanted to be like the heathen nations around them. They liked all that pomp of royalty. They wanted to be like everybody else. I mean, it's like young people nowadays who say they want to be different. Yet they change their hair, they change their clothes, they get the tattoos. They all look the same, but they say they're trying to be different. You see, Israel shifted their focus off of God, their true king. They no longer wanted a God that they couldn't see, even though He was the one that had guided and protected them for so long. That's not what they wanted anymore. Times were changing, and they wanted to be like their neighbors. They had their regal kings, you know, with their worldly benefits. They had men who could be influenced by money and possessions to do what they wanted to do. Men who could bend the rules if they wanted to help their friends out. And that's exactly what we see in politics today. What is right or wrong is not the deciding factor in how people vote. And as we've seen many times, people vote for what gives them the most benefits and the most freedom to live the way they want to. And that's the way it's going. It's the same in many political decisions. It's no longer whether it's right or wrong for our country. It's not what is best for the people. It is what is best for the politicians. And I believe all of us can agree there. The most influential that sways the decision making, they're the ones that are making the decisions the way that they want to. Now, these elders wanted what they felt would benefit them the most. Now, you can imagine how Samuel must have felt. I mean, he may have been aging, but I'm sure he still felt like he could do the job. And yet, the elders of the city had that mentality of, you know, out with the old, in with the new. We want to do some changes here. But I want to tell you, new or progressive does not always mean good. It doesn't always mean good. I want you to look at verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods. So do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." You see, Samuel went straight to the Lord with a request, knowing it was out of his hands. I mean, they'd already made their mind up. Their choice was clear. And back in verse 7, God put everything into perspective for Samuel. When the people rebel against God's man and God's rules, they're really rebelling against God himself. And that's exactly, I believe, what we're seeing in our country. It's the same principle that is being carried out in our world today. And we shouldn't be surprised when sinful people live like the sinners that they are. Verse 8 brought it even more into focus. These people had been rebellious for a long time, according to what we read. They had long since rejected God's leadership in their lives, and they had replaced him with the false gods of pleasure and money. And for that reason, God put judges in place to begin with, to try to lead them, to try to correct them, to remind them of the one true God who should be their only king. So verse 9 says that God told Samuel to give them what they wanted, but tell them what they're getting. Let them go ahead and know, hey, you're going to get what you asked for. But here is how it's going to be. Since they chose to continue in the rebellion, wanting a king in the place of God, they were going to suffer the consequences of their choices. And Samuel was commanded to protest solemnly, is the words here. That means that he was to admonish them, he was to charge them, and he was to warn the people of the consequences. And here, really, if you read through it, they really had an opportunity to change their minds. Let me say that their request came as no surprise to God. He knew beforehand what they'd choose. If you'll look with me in Genesis 35 real quick, hold your place there and look with me at Genesis 35. You see, when God changed Jacob's name to Israel, he told him way back then that some of his descendants would be kings. Genesis 35:11. Genesis chapter 35, verse 11. And God said unto him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee." And look at the last part. "And kings shall come out of thy loins." It didn't say the judges. It says, "And kings shall come out of thy loins." Now, just a couple of months before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, God prophesied there that they would ask for a king so that they could be like all the others. Now, if you want to turn there, it's in Deuteronomy 17. Or if you just want to make a note, I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 17:14 says, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me." Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what we're reading in 1 Samuel 8:5, where it says, "Make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Notice that God reminded them here that it was him who was giving them the land that they would possess, not a king. He's the one that's done all this for them. Yet they still chose a king. And God knew what they would choose, just as he knows our situation. He knows what's going on now. He knows the choices that were made. He knows what's happening. I guarantee you, he was not anxiously watching the voting results back in November. He knew what was going to go on, and he wasn't surprised at it. You see, the apparent majority of people asked for a king who fit their sinful desires, just like we see in Scripture today. And God was willing to let them have what they wanted. Our country has been clearly headed in this direction for many, many years. It's sad as I watch things in the next generations to come, and I put it as, putting it mildly, the immaturing of the next generations. How they're turning more to cartoon things, and how everything is just, you know, in a tablet and in a game and things like that, and they just about can't function without sight of it. Each generation is turning its back on God more and more. The signs of the time we know are pointing to the point that we are in the last days. And God's not surprised at that outcome either. He knew the turmoil that was going to happen because of their choices. He knew about every window that was going to be broken, every store that was went through, every officer that had to die because of this. And yet some still wonder why bad things happen. I can't serve a God that'll let bad things happen. They voted for it. There are some important lessons that should be learned from this portion of Scripture I'd like to go into tonight. You see, when we want any king other than God, we want something that's inferior, an alternative. And when we put our trust in human leadership and the power of the government instead of the Word of God, we are asking for God's wrath on this nation because He will not have any other God before Him. And that is why we are seeing so much of what's going on. Look at verse 10 again, if you would. Look real closely to it. It says, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots." I want you to notice this description of the king that they received because of their sinful request. You see, the king would take their children. And he would use them for his own purposes. They would become slaves to a new government. They'd drive his chariots. Some would be his footmen, it says, running before him, proclaiming his name. That's what footmen did back then. Run before him and call out his name. I want you to think about how many of the youth today do we see on television who are praising the name of this new president and the wicked policies that are going into place. They're rejoicing over it. They're running ahead of him, and they're pushing it forward. We know the majority of the children and the youth of the day are not raised in Christians' homes. And that is the reason they are so easily swayed to follow any leadership that allows them freedom to live like they want to with no repercussions. Think about your own children. If you've got some, I'm sure the majority of us here do. Think about them. If you gave them the option, said, listen, you can vote. You can follow the house rules that your mom and dad put down, or y'all can vote to live how you want to, do what you want. What are the children going to do? They're going to choose to do what they please. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our country today. If we as parents are not diligent in raising our children and our grandchildren in the ways of the Lord, they and the generations to come are going to be enticed to become slaves to this government. You know, they believe the lies, or they will. They'll believe the lies. They'll accept the handouts that's coming to them and be enslaved to an evil leadership. The description of the king is even getting worse, though. Look at verse 12. "And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots." I want you to notice the way that the new king would use force to rule over. It doesn't say he's leading. He's ruling over these people. And this verse says he will set them to ear his ground. What this is talking about is someone who's deaf and mute. It refers to someone who is plowing the ground while remaining silent. He doesn't have a voice. So the new king would have so much government power that the people themselves wouldn't have a say-so in important decisions. The voice of even those who elected him would not be heard. I'm going to mention something that I see all the time on Facebook, and I hear people say it all the time. You know, how many people here would like to see term limits? Everybody. Everybody would like to see term limits. But we apparently have no voice. I've asked many people, even politicians that are like lawyers and stuff, and ask them, everybody wants to change. Why can't we? Well, we really don't have a voice in it, do we? And that's one of the big reasons. They have their different insurance. We can't have that. We have to go by what the government will allow us to have. Again, no voice. The perpetual retirement that they get. Even if they served one term, they get money for the rest of their life. They could just sit back and do nothing. Folks, they keep voting on these things for themselves. And we don't have any voice in it. So that is exactly what was happening in 1 Samuel. we see the same thing. He's talking about earing the ground. He's saying, you've got to get out there and you've got to do the work, but yet you have no voice. Folks,
as government grows, the people's voice is silent. I don't know what's going on here, but I just went dead. I'll just have to speak louder, I guess. As government grows, the people's voice is silent. You know, our country was built on the principle of by the people and for the people. But yet right now, the apparent majority of the people are giving those rights that we have away. Look with me at verse 13.
Verse 13. There we go. I'm back online with a vengeance, it sounds like. Verse 13. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. You see, women would be forced to work because of the leadership of the new king. Instead of being able to take care of their family and their homes, taxes from the work that they were doing would fuel this new government and allow them to continue to oppress the people while the government grew. Is that not what we're seeing today in our own country? Verse 14. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will make the tenth of your sheep, or take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Folks, these verses are warning the people that the new government that they wanted is going to demand of them to work hard, but the government would be the one to benefit. The best of their income, the best of their goods would be given to those who follow and support the king. I think of these verses as I look at our own country. I think of it down there in Peru and think about that. That man that I was telling you about a while ago, if he gets elected, I mean, his thoughts are, if you've got two houses, the government's going to get one of them. If you have a big house with many rooms, you'll be taking people in off the street, and they will be living in your house, and you'll have no say-so in it, plowing the ear to the ground. So it's not by accident here also that it mentions the tenth. When we choose someone else over God, guess where the tenth is going? That tenth, the tithe, which should have gone to God and his work, would be taken and given to strengthen that wicked government. People don't have enough money to give, do they? But yet the government's going to take it. The government will take it. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our tithes and offerings. He wants our commitment and he wants our faithfulness. But if we think that we can choose not to give and still prosper ourselves, we're fooling ourselves, folks. God will receive what is his one way or another. Now in this case, their best efforts would result in someone else's benefit, someone who didn't work for it. Does that sound familiar? The end of verse 16 says, he will put them to his work. And the last five words of verse 17 make it very plain. Ye shall be his servants, slaves to a government that you created to serve you. All of this was a result of not trusting God's plan, not following God's leadership, and wanting to do it their way, wanting everything given to them. And the worst part of it all was, since they rejected the warnings, God's going to turn a deaf ear to them when they have problems, the problems that they brought on themselves. Look at verse 18. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Our government in this country is one that has arisen because of the voice of a majority that does not have God in their heart. And because of that, they will not have God on their side. I want you to listen to the sad word of the next verses. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They had another opportunity right here. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Listen again. Nay, but we will have a king over us. They were saying, we have a desire to be like the world, a desire to put God away and live according to our own rules. Now, in reading verse 22, I can't help but hear a somber conversation between God and Samuel. Look with me at verse 22. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man into his city." You see, the people had made their choice. God had determined their fate, and Samuel had received his orders. All that remained were the consequences. And we know the rest of the story here. Saul was the first appointed king over Israel. And if you remember studying anything about Saul, he failed as king many times. He consulted with someone who talked with the dead instead of talking with God, instead of trying to find out what God wanted. He made offered sacrifices to God, which was only the honor of a priest. He failed to follow God's commands many times. If you remember, he was supposed to have killed King Agag, and he was supposed to have destroyed the Amalekites, but yet he chose not to do that. He was jealous over David and sought to kill him many times. And in the end, Saul killed himself, suicide, when he was wounded in battle. Many other kings followed him. And if you read through the Old Testament, you will find a statement that labels them many times. And it says this, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord." I want you to listen to what God said to remind Israel of their ungodly decision. Turn with me to Hosea 13. Hosea 13, verse 9. Hosea 13, in verse 9. Hosea chapter 13, verse 9 says, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes? I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath." The results of not allowing God to govern in our lives and in our decisions is absolutely disastrous with consequences. Those who are conformed to this world suffer its judgment. Romans 12:2, you remember, says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." They should have chose God as their king. And as Christians, we live in this world, folks, but we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and God is our king. So when we see all this going on around us, we need to remember that God is our king. Our place is elsewhere, and we're just passing through. But we need to do our very best while we're here. Sadly, we're going to suffer at times for the sins of the majority. In John 16:33, Jesus told us, "In the world, we will have tribulation." But I love the other part. It says, "I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. We can trust in Him. So what do we do while we wait for our God and King? You see, it's our responsibility to cast our vote when we have the opportunity, because if not, we're lending our vote to the evil majority. Some may have decided not to vote in the last election, and we see how that turned out. Our vote is part of the light that we must shine in this world. We should vote as unto the Lord according to biblical principles, but then we must trust in a sovereign God, because we know that He is in control. God is not mocked. Daniel 2, verses 20 and 21 said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." He knows what to do. He knows how to handle it, and He is strong enough to do it. "And He changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." Did those people vote in someone? No. God gave them what they asked for. You asked for it, you got it. Now, I'll seem like I often refer to music when I'm preaching, and two songs came to mind when I was thinking about how we can encourage ourselves. One of them is an old song, "King Jesus, And the chorus goes like this: when King Jesus comes to live with us again, he will show his righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past. There'll be peace on earth at last when King Jesus comes to live with us again. And the other song is one that is sang here. And the last half of the chorus says, he's the only king every king will bow before and sing. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. He is the only king. Folks, we need to choose God as our king, and we need to pray that those that are lost and on their way to hell not get punished, but that they will repent and do the same thing. We can see a turnaround in this if we as a country, we start right here as a church, and if we as a country will continue to pray, we can see a difference. It may be too late. God's will be done. But I just wanted to bring out something, and it's been on my heart for a while, and what in reading this, I just saw everything being laid out, just like was in 1 Samuel, which explained exactly what's going on in our country. They asked for it. They got it. And we have to suffer through it. So let me ask you, have we chosen God as our king? Or are we trying to trust in a government to give us what we need? You know, as Christians, we need to trust in his word, we need to trust in his hand, and we need to trust in his sovereignty, knowing that he knows what's best for us, that he knows what's going on. He still is in control. Let's bow our heads tonight. We do need to trust God. We need to trust knowing that he is in 100% control of everything that's going on. So the president, the vice president, the leaders that are in those offices, we're not saying he wanted it. We just know that he allowed it. So we're going to trust in God. Maybe there's somebody out there tonight that they've been trusting in a government instead of God to give them what they need to provide and to look out after them. I just ask you right now, take this moment and put your trust in the only king that you can trust in, and that is God. If you're watching online or if you're here tonight, I believe everyone's saved here, but I don't know everybody's heart. I would just ask you, if you've never put your faith in Christ, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, to do that tonight before it's eternally too late, because what we've seen tonight is a repeat of something that happened 3,000 years ago, and it's just going to get worse until the Lord comes back. Heavenly Father, I just come to you right now, and I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for showing us what was going to happen many years ago if we did what recently was done. I thank you for allowing us to understand why it is happening. I thank you for allowing us to realize that you're totally in control, that this isn't escaping you, and it is no surprise. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to put our faith in just you as our king. We know we must obey things here as long as it's not against your word. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just touch our country tonight. Touch our leaders. Turn their hearts towards you, we pray, dear God. We don't want to pray that they go to hell or pray that they're hurt in some way because of the evil that they're committing. We pray that you would just melt their hearts and that you would turn this country back around. Lord, that our children, our grandchildren would be able to see a country like it used to be. Lord, I pray tonight that if there's one out there that has never received Christ as their Savior, that right now they would accept him as their only king. Father, that they would bow their knee before him. Lord, because whether it's today or whether it's in the future, every knee shall bow before you. We thank you again for your word tonight. And we just ask that you just speak to each heart. Lord, if there's anything we need to change, pray that you'd help us to do that. Pray that you'd help each one of us to be faithful, to pray for the leadership in our country. Lord, that your will would be done most of all. For it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen and amen. Pastor, you want to come forward?
Thank you, Brother Don. What a timely message tonight. What an in-depth comparison to what America's going through. Thank you for that, Brother Don. That was definitely what I needed. I needed to get a glimpse of that. And I'm thankful for God's word tonight, how that those principles apply to everything in life. And as you see, and as we know and been experiencing, the world's going one way, and you know, the church, we're supposed to be going another way, and we are, and in the world, but not of the world. And so let's pray individually that we could stand strong in these last days, and let it be known who we believe in, what we stand for. And thank you again, Brother Don, for that. We appreciate that. All right, anything else to mention tonight before we close our first Wednesday back? Okay, well, we've got a good crowd here with us tonight, and God bless each and every one of you. And just remember this coming up Sunday morning, choir practice for those who are in the choir will be 9:30, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning service, and then 5 p.m. evening service. And so we are all open, running full speed ahead. And so we appreciate all of you. All right. Feels like there's something else I needed to say, but it just left me. And I've done reeled in my mind for the moment. And but anyway, all right. Well, if that's all we have, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everyone have a great night. Father, we love you. Thank you for Brother Don and Sister Carla, Lord, what they mean to us, this church, Lord. Thank you for the insight, Lord, that we were able to glean and see tonight. And Lord, help us just trust in you. Lord, keep you first. And keep our nose in your blessed book. And Lord, keep our face hid in prayer. And go out and let our light shine, as Brother Jim Pearson used to say. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Liberty to go.